Well, I have a couple of dreams here from Bill Steenland, and they're about war and false prophet and the harlot and the mark, and then a bigger war. So I'm going to get started. This is about a war between East and West in the Middle East. He said, I dreamed that there was a lion and a white tiger fighting one another very fiercely, with a lot of back and forth, while rolling around on the ground. I think the white tiger just represents Russia, Iran, India, and China, Eastern nations, going to war with the lion, Britain, America, Australia, Canada, Europe, and NATO. We know, too, that the lion with eagle's wings in Daniel is Britain and her lion cubs with the U.S. as its air power. And also, we know that Siberia is part of Russia, and the white Siberian tiger, in this case, probably represents Russia. Bill said, I was watching Putin in this video here, and the Lord said to me, the white tiger. Why didn't I see it before? We are really seeing the fulfillment of this dream now. This topic is huge in the book Hidden Manna for the End Times, now that I think about it. We are really seeing the posturing and coming war that is shown in that dream now, with all the lines being drawn in the sand now over Europe and Asia. I believe so. As the lion and the tiger fought, the scenery and the settings were changing. It was as if they were rolling back and forth in the Middle East, from the mountains to the desert, to more mountains, and back to dry, parched setting like a desert, and then a combination of the two. It was as if they were rolling around fighting each other across the whole Middle East. And this is the strange part. There was a black car following everywhere that they were going. Okay, my opinion is that this is the Illuminati powers that be, banksters, with money invested on both sides of the war, as always. These people don't have any allegiance to a nation. Their allegiance is to money and power and such things as that. Blood and guts is just natural for them. It always has been. They have a spirit of murder. And Bill went on to say, all I know was that they were in the Middle East, and it is a huge power struggle for territory. In the end of the dream, I saw a black man in full-blown black Masonic attire with a black plate that had a golden pyramid on it. Yep, it sounds a lot like the Illuminati Masonic powers that be. Bill said the eye was not floating over the pyramid, it was one, which has always represented Lucifer, the Antichrist spirit. By the way, who is now in total control of the beast through the Illuminati banksters. I believe that's why the eye is one with the pyramid in this case. And Bill said Masonic agenda is unfolding. Their god Lucifer is the all-seeing eye, the beast one-world government. Amen. The black plate was hanging on his chest. And Bill wrote, breath, spirit, demons of the beast. He was standing in the middle of these two fighting animals as they fought, but he was much bigger than the cats. He was kicking his toes into the ground on each side as if one foot or toes was the lion and the other foot was the tiger. He would kick his toes into the ground one at a time towards the other foot. Bill said he believes this is the end time fulfillment of at least two of the 10 kingdoms from Daniel 2, known as Nebuchadnezzar's image or dream. Yep, that's part of it. And my opinion is that the 2 feet of the image of the beast in Daniel's revelation are the end time Eastern Roman Empire, which Russia is the head of, and Western Roman Empire, which U.S. is the head of. And throughout history, that has been true. You know, as long as America has been around, it basically took over after Britain, you know, when the British Empire began to crumble. The clay is nations that were not a part of the original Roman Empire, which was typed by the iron. And this Roman Empire is the 6th head that was smitten unto death, which is revived. If you remember Daniel's vision from the thighs back at the beginning of the Roman Empire, it went for many, many years all the way down the legs to the toes, which represent the end time. So it's still with us. The people are still here. The nature that was passed on of sin through the blood is still here. So basically the Roman Empire is united in one kingdom that we know of, and that's the United Nations. But Satan and his earthly representatives, the Illuminati powers that be, are kicking their pawns back and forth in the Middle East. The pawns of U.S. and Russia have also always had their pawn nations that they prefer to fight through, supplying weapons and logistics and trainers, and etc., so that they're not personally drawn into a world nuclear war, right? But I believe, although nukes may be used in this first war, it's not the full-scale nuclear war that will come at the end of the trib, which is seen in Bill's other dream that I'm going to share with you. Well, they have done this covert warfare for many years, and it will continue because it makes money for the powers that be, and it decreases the populations, and it keeps the nations under control. They're big on control. They don't care if a president takes the credit for being in control. They are in control, and that's what they like. And I would say that the big black man is the world Antichrist Illuminati Masons ruled by Satan, the head of the beast, right? Daniel chapter 2 and verse 40 says, "And the 4th kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things," which of course they've been doing for many years. And remember, the iron is in all 10 toes, the eastern and western foot, right? "And as iron that crushes all these shall it break in pieces and crush." Certainly has done that, hadn't it? "And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, it shall be a divided kingdom." And my opinion is that the clay is the Muslim nations that are mixed in on both sides, because they are not iron. They're not strong without, you know, guerrilla warfare and whatever. "It shall be a divided kingdom, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron. For as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, and as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest the iron mixed with the miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men." In other words, the Roman Empire will mingle themselves with the seed of men, "but they shall not cleave one to another." There is no natural way to totally mix them, you know. "Even as iron doth not mingle with clay." And verse 44 goes on, it says, "And in the days of those kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, nor shall the sovereignty thereof be left to another people. But it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So all these kingdoms, meaning that image of the beast that Daniel saw there, and but this kingdom that God sets up is going to destroy all those kingdoms. How could they destroy all of those kingdoms? Because they're all still here. Their dominion was taken away, but their lives were prolonged, Daniel said, meaning they're still with us because their seed is still here. And they're still fighting, and they're still competitive, and so on and so forth. But the kingdom of God is going to destroy them. For as much as thou sawest that a stone was cut out of the mountain without hands. There's that without hands again. Remember the temple without hands? In other words, this is not a work of man, this mountain. The top of this mountain, you know, like for instance the top of Mount Zion was where the King of Kings has his temple, right? And it goes on to say, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold. The great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Amen. Bill said, in the dream, I knew that the black man over the big cats was Tiger Woods, the pro golf player. And I believe that's because Tiger has a family heritage from many nations and represents the Illuminati world rulers, who also have a heritage from many nations. Bill said he's like the melting pot of nations and religions that is melted into one. Tiger Woods spent most of his life standing on grass and playing golf. And I believe this war of back and forth is like a golf game to these Illuminati Masons. And life is cheap to them. And Bill puts here in this the multinational family tree of Tiger Woods to make a point here, but I'm not going to read that. Anyway, the second dream that Bill had is all about the false prophet, the harlot, the mark, and a very large nuclear war that pretty much destroys the known world. And he said, the dream started off, I was in a big city like New York or Philly. I had a large-size white tablet in my hands. There were two guys that were working on it, but we were talking about the mark of the beast. The guy was talking about the basics of where it goes and so on. The second man was sitting on the step. He had a really far away look on his face, like he had spent a long time looking at the physical properties of the mark. He sat down on the step and just kept saying, it's so much more than a mark. Over and over, he said this. Then he said, calling it just a mark doesn't do it justice. It's much more than that. I found out later in that dream, the mark will have currency on it as an incentive to take it after a total global economic meltdown. And I do believe that the mark is coming after the global economic meltdown. And that's really why they want to go to the mark, because they know everything about everything. And they want control. I looked back at the tablet, and I knew that in the dream, when I looked down at the tablet, I could see anything I wanted to, or any place I wanted to, and that I could be there by looking at this tablet. And he writes that it means that the Word of God written upon the tablet of our hearts, which gives spiritual insight and discernment. Well, amen. People who know the Word have discernment. They see things other people don't see. And that's why, of course, we need this kind of discernment in the days ahead. You know, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3:2, "You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men, being made manifest that you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone or tablets of stone, but in tables or tablets that are hearts of flesh." Maybe that's why when I looked at the tablet later in the dream, I could see future events and see into the spiritual realm. And, of course, 1 Corinthians 2:10 says, "But unto us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God." Bill said, "I was looking at a video of the beach as I walked around with the tablet. Then I found myself there on the beach at a beach resort. I was walking around this beach next to the resort." And he put fellowshipping Abraham's seed, the children of faith. God told Abraham that his children would be as the sands of the sea. Hebrews 11:11. "By faith, even Sarah herself received power to conceive seed when she was past age, since she counted him faithful who had promised. Wherefore, also there sprang of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of heaven in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable." So think about the weakness of Abraham and Sarah to bring forth this promised seed that would be the beginning of a great multitude. But they counted him faithful, ultimately, and it came to pass, because God's power is made perfect in our weakness. Now, the promised seed is about to come. Romans 4:11, "And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while he was in uncircumcision, that he might be the father of all of them that believe, though they be in uncircumcision, that righteousness might be reckoned unto them." The promised seed, the man-child Isaac, would bring forth the great multitude of fruit, just like in these end times. Wonderful parable there hidden in that. And, you know, the church is just as incapable as Sarah to bring forth this promised seed. It's a miracle from God. Kind of like the man-child Jesus was a miracle from God. It was impossible, right? But the Lord brought it forth. There's no power in the church today to bring forth this man-child seed who is going to bring forth so much fruit because of the nature of Jesus Christ that's on the inside. The Word and the Spirit, nobody will even be able to take credit for it any more than they could for Isaac, right? Anybody that looked at Abraham and Sarah would know that she was incapable and he was incapable, right? But they tried to bring forth, you know, and made a tragic mistake that's warring against the church today. And it's a work of the flesh, a work of man's hands, which I believe this dream is probably going to share some with you in a moment. While I was walking around, I saw an old friend that I knew was caught up in confusion, walking around too. In the dream, I knew that I had a room at this beach resort. I went to my room and relaxed on my bed. representing resting in the promises of God, I pulled out the tablet and I saw a picture of Benny Hinn. He had a red shirt on. Red represents sin, as in the man of sin, 1 John 3, 4, and 10. But a verse I'd like to share is Isaiah 1 and 18. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Amen. So red can represent sin. He looked very effeminate. There was makeup on his face. Now that usually means that what you see is not what you get. He had his arms out as if to present something. There was a witchcraft book in front of him. 1 Samuel 15 and 23 says, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as idolatry and teraphim. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." Yep, the Sauls are about to be moved out of the way, and the Davids are about to be brought in. Praise be to God. The Davids have a heart for the people. The Sauls don't. It's all big ego trip for them. Bill put 1 Corinthians 10 and 20 here. It says, "But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I would not that you should have communion with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons." Well, amen. There was a table with a whole bunch of objects in front of him that were being used in witchcraft to send curses. And Bill writes, "Those infected with Kundalini and who practice false signs and lying wonders are sent out to deceive God's people. God is the one allowing it." Because of 2 Thessalonians 2 and 7. "For the mystery of lawlessness doth already work. Only there is one that restraineth now until he be taken out of the way," or "come out of the midst," as it literally says. "And then shall be revealed the lawless one." See, when he's come out of the midst through a falling away like Judas, then the lawless one is revealed. The falling away has to come first, right? "Whom the Lord Jesus shall slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to naught by the manifestation of his coming. Even he whose coming is according to the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceit of unrighteousness for them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved." Jesus warned of false Christs, didn't he? Plural. In Matthew 24 and 24, he said, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect." And the word for false Christ is pseudo-Christos, or false anointings. Actually, Christ is not translated. It's still in the Greek form, but anointing or anointings. And there are many people that claim to be anointed and many who believe they are anointed, but there's only one way you know. You have to compare it to Scripture, right? And my thinking is that when God does signs because of the faith of his people, but the signs do not confirm the life and the word of the minister, they're false signs and lying wonders. You say, "How can that be, David?" Well, because signs and wonders are for confirming the word. You know, like Mark 16 and 20, it says, they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word by the signs that followed. Amen. And I'd like to remind you, too, of Deuteronomy 13 and 1 on. It says, if there arise in the midst of thee a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he give thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass. And we know nothing comes to pass without the Lord, right? Amen. Whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods. Well, there's much of that today and among Christian ministers, right? Satan fashions his ministers as ministers of righteousness, doesn't he? They look like ministers of righteousness. They sound like it, but they're not. It's kind of like makeup, you know. You don't get what you see. And you don't see what you get. another Elohim or Jesus is what these other gods have spoken about. Which thou hast not known, let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or unto that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So the Lord God could have these false people come in and do signs and wonders. Let me tell you this. If you go to a meeting where a man totally doesn't live for the Lord, but he's had gifts of healings, and you believe that when you go there, you're going to get a healing, God can give you that healing because he loves you. It does not mean that the man that was used to bring it is even saved. Now, hear what I say. I know what I'm talking about. It does not mean they'll even be saved. That's just the facts. And Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 3, says that very plainly. So don't say, oh, look at this wonderful thing that happened through this man. Well, did you need it? Did you want it? Did you believe for it? Okay. You can't limit God. He has both vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. You can't limit him. And Bill says, they have another Jesus because they receive another word and another spirit. The scripture explains why he was performing witchcraft in the dream. Galatians 1 and 7. Which is not another gospel, only there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, should preach unto you any gospel other than that which we preached unto you, let him be anathema. In other words, other than the gospel that they preached back then, let him be anathema. Well, I'm going to tell you what's another gospel. Just accept Jesus as your personal Savior. It's another gospel. It's not in the Bible anywhere. In the Bible, they demanded repent and believe. See? And verse 9 goes on to say, as we have said before, so say I now again, if any man preacheth unto you any gospel other than that which you received, let him be anathema, which means cursed. When people receive another word, they can receive this working of error mentioned in 2 Thessalonians 3, 9-11. Kundalini is a huge working of error. Yes, I totally agree. Huge working of error. It's a demon spirit that many people, after it enters, believe it's God. It's like the faction spirit. They believe it's God. It's not. And they were turned over to Satan, but they don't know it. Kundalini is a huge working of error that the harlot church is going under. It's like in the dream that they say they serve God but are in rebellion and witchcraft. When people pray and fellowship with people who are serving these Kundalini spirits, they open themselves up to this working of error because, frankly, they're playing with a witch. And they get slimed with this curse from Galatians that they are under. It's so true. I mean, just a touch from these people. Don't let them lay hands on you. Don't let them pray over you. And they have destroyed many lives. They usually die before their time. They usually get into all kinds of corruption. And Bill said, here is a call of God to leave these false teachers in churches in Isaiah 2 and 5. O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. For thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they are filled with customs from the east. Well, we know that Kundalini is an eastern spirit, and it's deceiving people into thinking it is Christian. And God is cleansing his church with false prophets. He always has. False prophets come to the church. They speak things that people who don't have a discerning mind, as spoken about earlier, give into because of their sins and because of their ambition, and they're taken out. The church is cleansed. And there are soothsayers like the Philistines. You remember the soothsaying maid in Acts 16:16? These men are servants of the Most High God, but then she went off in another direction here, you know. Paul got tired of it and cast the demon out of her. But it was a false spirit. Kundalini has been named the false prophetic movement for a really good reason. Because once it comes into people, they are full of false prophecies. They can't get it right. And they strike hands with the children of foreigners. In other words, they've joined the Eastern religions through this Kundalini spirit. And their land is full of silver and gold. And Bill writes, Benny Hinn is worth $45 million. Now, that's kind of disgusting if you ask me. Somebody's not eating all these kind surfeit and don't care about the needs of others. How do I know that? Ecclesiastes 5:11 says, when goods increase, they are increased that eat them. In other words, there's enough on the earth to feed everybody. But some are overindulging, and the rest do without. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what advantage is there to the owner thereof, save the beholding of them with his eyes? So he can look on this and see that he's got a lot of money stored up for many years. Sounds like another one of Jesus' parables, right? But he said, thou fool, this night they require thy soul of thee. And this reminds me of Isaiah 56:11. It says, yea, the dogs are greedy. They can never have enough. And these are shepherds that cannot understand. They have all turned to their own way, each one to his gain from every quarter. Neither is there any end of their treasures, the verse goes on. It's first Isaiah chapter 2. In other words, the prosperity message. There's no end. They just keep gathering in the treasures, and foolish people keep giving it to them. For goodness sake, why would you give to a ministry, to a man, so he can store it up somewhere for his future, $45 million. Their land also is full of horses. Neither is there any end of their chariots. Well, Bill put here, his Rolls Royce and private jets. Yeah. The prosperity peoples can't get enough of those private jets, can they? Their land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands. It's so caught up in the things of the world, the love of the world and the things of the world, the lust of the eyes. And this type build a false temple made with man's hands. I'm talking about the work that they do among God's people. That's what they're building, a false temple made with man's hands, which God says he does not inhabit. Acts 17:24. The God that made the world and all things therein. he being Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Isaiah 10:1 says, Woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees, and to the writers that write perverseness, to turn aside the needy from justice, and to rob the poor of my people of their right, that widows may be their spoil. Bill said, Their ministries are run off the poor and the fatherless whom they rob. Benny has promised to these poor people that if they give him $1,000, God will multiply it. Well, saints, when God is teaching his children to give, he may honor their faith, but not the greedy leader. You understand what I'm saying? They might give. And God, because he wants to prove to them that his word is true, may answer them. But that's not giving any credit to the greedy leader to stick it in his pocket. And the rest of that verse in Isaiah 10 is verse 2. It says, And that they may make the fatherless their prey, those who have no true spiritual fathers, but hirelings, right? And verse 3, And what will you do in the day of visitation, and in the desolation which shall come from far? To whom will you flee for help? Where will you leave your glory? Talking about these greedy leaders. What will they do when the Lord comes, manifested in the man-child ministry, to bring justice? The white horse rider, what are they going to do then with their greedy millions? Remember what Jesus did when he overturned the temple tables? Boy, I tell you, he said, The zeal of the Lord hath eaten me up. And he overturned all the greedy merchants in the house of God. You think the same thing's going to happen? I guarantee it. Bill went on to say, There was a book on the table in front of him. As I looked at the book, I heard a news broadcast in the background. She said these words, Benny Hinn has a new social media program to join. Like Alex Jones, and another name that was mentioned but was blanked out. I believe it was a reference to Facebook. I believe these social media programs are the hive mentality of corporate bodies of people who are under the deception of certain spirits. For instance, Facebook is vanity and self-promotion, and Alex is fear and rebellion. And Benny is obviously Kundalini in the harlot church. Bill said, As I looked at the book, I heard the famous singer, Katy Perry, singing these lyrics. Quote, I hear that the mark of the beast is coming, and I want one. Unquote. Bill said, Katy is a perfect symbol of the harlot church who will take the mark of the beast. She's being used as a type also of the harlot spirits that cause the falling away, and finally, the mark of the beast. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, But the Spirit saith expressly that in latter times some shall fall away from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. You know, the Feast of Unleavened Bread in Exodus chapter 12, was for 7 days, representing the tribulation. And anyone who ate leaven during that time was cut off from among the people of God. So we must come out from them now before the tribulation starts. You know, those 7 days were the last 7 days before leaving Egypt as a type of the world. Amazing, astounding parables that the Lord's put there. And he says, if leaven is found in your house during that time, you will be cut off. There is a great falling away coming because people are full of leaven. So you can't say the world can fall away. It's not talking about the world. It's talking about the so-called church. They're the only ones that could fall away. Right? Then there were two aliens in my room. they were demons. I knew in the dream that the harlot church that rides the beast was rolling out another deception. Aliens. Okay. I immediately turned the tablet off, and the demons left. Then I had an open vision there on my bed. I was looking at a world destroyed by a nuclear war with Russia and a total global economic collapse. So a nuclear war between U.S., Russia, and all their allies, right? You know, after the mark of the beast in the mid-tribulation, at the end of the tribulation, there will be a total nuclear war. And no economy whatsoever. Joel 2 and 30, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Bill said the pillars of smoke mentioned in Joel could be the mushroom cloud pillars of nuclear war. That word pillar can also be translated as column that could stretch from earth to the heavens, literally. There's going to be a great nuclear war at that time. I was looking at a soldier and a young boy about 14 years old. The sun was not giving her light like in the scriptures. I saw the boy with the mark of the beast on his hand. He was glowing in the dark while in his hand. It was slightly curved in shape like a banana. And he said, representing the fruit of the wicked. It was glowing green and yellow. The boy was thinking these words in his head, and I heard it very clear. As he looked up at a totally destroyed world, he thought, "We don't ever have to worry. We are safe. The government knows where we are at all times and will be there shortly to help us." Well, just notice that he had the mark before the nuclear war came. And he was programmed to trust in the Antichrist, as people call it. Revelation 13 and 16. "And he causeth all, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, the free and the bond, that there be given them a mark on their right hand or upon their forehead, and that no man should be able to buy or to sell, save he that hath the mark." In the dream, I knew that this mark had electronic currency on it. Well, what is this mark going to do? It's going to The people who have been trained by the man-child in the first 3.5 years, just like it was with Jesus, are now going into their own personal wilderness. And the beast is going to make war on them, but they're not defenseless. They are going to bring down the beast kingdom. Well, I'm not talking about all of God's people. Many of God's people are not really warriors in the spirit realm. It doesn't mean that they will go to hell. It just means that they may die and pass off the scene, which may be the very best thing for them, too. So he also knew that this mark was connected to an electronic currency. Even the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. He that hath understanding, let him count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And his number is 666. I think it says the number of man. Okay. And then Daniel 9 and 27. "And he shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week." That is one Shabuah. 1 7, literally. "And in the midst of the week," there it is, in the middle of the 7 years, "he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease." And of course, you know, we are a continual burnt offering before the Lord. are sacrificing our life, losing our life in order to gain our life. We are laying our flesh on the altar, right, and letting the fiery trial burn it up. But, of course, if someone takes the mark of the beast, their sacrifice and their oblation will cease. And it's talking about people here. It's not talking about the type and the shadow. It's talking about the fulfillment. And upon the wing of abominations, or pinnacle of abominations, shall come one. One what? Some people say one Antichrist. No, it's talking about shall come one. One abomination. That's the mark. Upon the pinnacle of abominations shall come one abomination. That's what he's talking about. The mark that maketh desolate. Yes, the mark maketh desolate, just as Revelation 14 says. And some are saying, oh, no, David, we can take the mark because the mark of God is stronger than the mark of the beast. Some such goofiness as that. And you know, there are crazy people out there saying this for totally contrary to the Word of God. You know what they're trying to prove? Once saved, always saved. They don't want to believe anything but that. They don't have any ambition to be like Jesus. So, on the pinnacle of abomination shall come one abomination, that is the mark, that maketh them desolate. What's desolate mean? Devoid of God. In the midst of the week, many so-called Christians will take the mark as sons of perdition in the temple of God's people. And this mark is an abomination that makes them desolate, devoid of God. And he said, as I watched the boy, I knew that people would take the mark for many reasons. But one is that there will be currency given to the recipient so he would survive. I came out of the vision and said to myself, I need to find my old friend. That's the one he saw in confusion earlier. I knew in this dream that there were a lot of people who need to hear this warning. Yeah. Revelation 18:4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come forth, my people, out of her, that you have no fellowship with her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. Remember the plague that came upon the people who had the mark? For her sins have reached even unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. And 2 Corinthians 6:15 says, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or the devil? Or what portion hath a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement hath a temple of God with idols? For we are a temple of the living God, even as God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Amen. But if you take the mark, it will be an abomination in the temple of God that maketh desolate. Just as in the natural that happened, right? Wherefore, come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be to you a father, and you shall be to me sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Oh, yes. Praise be to God. Well, that's a good revelation, Bill. Thank you very much for that. We do pray it sinks in with folks. There's a nasty 7 years coming. The Lord is going to train up some people in that first 3.5 years to go out and carry on the harvest. But also, there are people that are going to continue to be in their delusions and going to fall away and lose their eternal souls. So don't believe the lies that are out there, and there are many strong delusions. Well, Father, we ask, Lord, that you count us worthy to escape all these things, to stand before the Son of Man. We ask, Lord, that you armor us up good and get us prepared for this battle to come. We already know that we've won because you've spoken it. You've spoken the end from the beginning. this evil kingdom of this world has to fall. It will crumble. Even as they are persecuting and bringing your saints to the cross, Lord, which is part of the necessary work, the saints will be tearing down the kingdom of this world by their very words. And much like Moses tore down Egypt as they were leaving, you know, a type of the world. Oh, praise be to God. Lord, let us be unleavened bread, Lord. Let us be a people who are unleavened with the traditions of men and the lusts of men, as was pointed out in this revelation. And let us not have any idols, Lord. Let us desire only one thing, you, your kingdom. And Lord, let us seek first your kingdom and your righteousness and follow the example of Jesus and his disciples, who cared not for the things of the world or the love of the world. Their love was of God and of getting the gospel out and of people getting saved, not living after the lusts of their flesh like the false prophets do. Lord, we ask your mercy upon your people to open their eyes that they might know and understand who the false shepherds are, how obvious it is when we compare them to Jesus and the disciples. Oh, they come up with many verses that they wrench out of context to prove their way, but it's just that they don't care about the Word of God or truly representing the Lord. Father, we thank you for giving grace and having mercy on your people. Lord, send a revival. Spare your people, O Lord. Send a revival. Brethren, I pray that you will pray and seek God and ask for many things. Judgment is at the door. Get ready.